Morning, everyone. And today's daf in the Dharm is Nun Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Zechon Ishmael Sliba Garbiyala Bashmuel. We start today on the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. Within the sixth parak of the Masechta, we've been talking about Nedarim, making a neder on something, and what exactly is included within that neder. Yesterday, the Gemara covered topics like whey and milk. A person makes a neder on milk, and then the milk gets separated into the fat and to the whey. So is whey going to be included in your neder? So the Gemara yesterday brought a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. Similarly, yesterday the Gemara talked about olives and grapes and the byproducts of olives and grapes. A person makes a neder on olives and grapes. So does that include wine? So the Mishnah said no, it does not. And so in that same vein, in that similar idea, so the Mishnahs today are going to be covering more topics, more food items that are stated within the neder, and what exactly is going to be included within the neder. When the very top of the Amud, we start with the Mishnah, Nodim and Tamarim. So a person makes a neder on Tamarim on dates. So Mutter bedvash, excuse me. Mutter bedvash smarim, so a person's allowed to eat date honey. Date honey obviously is a derivative of date. To be perfectly honest, I never had date honey. I don't know what it's like. I imagine it's good. Date honey is not included within your neder. It's a bit of an oddity. Whenever the Torah describes honey, right there, it's avat chalav devash. So you know that the Torah is not talking about bee honey. The Torah is talking about date honey. So the truth of the matter is that date honey really is the defining characteristic of a date. Meaning when the Torah describes honey, the Torah is talking about date honey. But that's not how we talk. In other words, talking nowadays, you know, 21st century, but even going back to the time of the Mishnah, the Gemara, whenever they described honey, they were talking about bee honey. So we're not generally, when we talk about honey, we're not generally talking about date honey, we're talking about bee honey. And that idea really is encapsulated in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when a person makes a neder on dates, so good. He can't eat dates, but he can eat date honey. Because date honey, even though it's a derivative of the date, but that's not dates. That's date honey. Similarly, the Mishnah goes on to say mistavanios. Also, if a person has stavanios are what I guess I could describe as winter grapes. In other words, the Ron explains that the grapes that grew on the tree on the vine during the winter months, they're not really ripe. They're not fully ripe. No one's going to really eat these grapes. I guess you could if you really needed to, but no one's going to really eat them. The usage, the purpose of these grapes is that they're going to produce a vinegar. And so it's an interesting food item, these stavanios, meaning that they're edible, but not really. But really, they're much more used for their product. So the Mishnah says that if I make an edder, then I'm not going to eat stavanios, and what to be chometz stavanios. So the vinegar that results from it is not going to be included in my neder, because my neder was only against the source fruit and not the derivative product. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah Omer Kol Shashem Toladasa Kuriya Lav Menoda Hemenu Also Beyotze Hemenu. And on this point, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah disagrees. Look, when we're talking about date honey, so we always call it date honey, meaning that the derivative product is named after the source. I don't simply say honey, I say date honey. Why do I call it date honey? Because I always transfer it back to the source. And the same thing is true with regarding this vinegar. I don't simply call it vinegar, we call it chometz tavanios. So we call it the vinegar of the winter grape. So it's Rav Yehuda ben Beserah is arguing that since we always refer to the derivative product from its source material, so therefore a neder on one is going to affect the other. So the Rav Yehuda ben Beserah in the Mishnah obviously is machmir, and he takes a more stringent opinion than that of the Tanakhama. And then the Mishnah ends off with two words, and that is v'chachamim matirim. The chachamim say no, they disagree, and they feel that it's mutter. Which the Gemara is going to only elicit the Gemara to question that position has already been taken by the Tanakhama. Meaning that's exactly the point of the Tanakhama. When you make an neder on dates or on the winter grapes, so that does not include the derivative products. The derivative products are going to be mutter. And so really what comes out now is that the Tanakhama's position is equivalent to the Chachamim. And in just a moment, the Gemara is going to start off with a question of what did the Chachamim introduce to the whole discussion? Okay, before we start with the Gemara, and before we get to that question, just let's talk out a point spoken by the Ron. The Ran says that based on what we just learned in our Mishnah, it's a little bit difficult if you compare it to what we learned in yesterday's Gemara. Remember yesterday's Gemara, we talked about milk and whey. And what did we say yesterday? That it looked like we had a big debate in the Mishnah. If you look back on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and you look back at the Mishnah, so Hanodim Menachalav, I'm just reviewing what we saw yesterday. Hanodim Menachalav Mutar Bekum. So the Tanakhama says that if you make a neder on milk, so that neder is only going to be covering milk, but if for some reason you're eating whey, that's fine. And then Rav Yossi Osim, Rav Yossi says, no, it's prohibited. So what it seemed like is we had a debate in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. But you also remember, yesterday, after having gone through the Gemara ended up saying, there really is no debate. The Gemara ended up concluding that, truth be told, is that if when the whey is referred to as kuma dechaba, whey of milk, right? Again, whey, W-H-E-Y. So if whenever we describe kuma dechaba, if that's the minhag of the community, so then your neder is going to be milk and it's going to be whey as well. Okay, and so the Ran over here is asking now, going to ask a very simple question, very straightforward question. Yesterday's daf, we concluded that if we have a derivative product, and the derivative product goes by the name of the original product, we have no debate whatsoever that your neder on the original product is also going to include the derivative as well. That was what we learned in yesterday's daf. And now contrast that to what we just learned in the Mishnah. What we just learned in the Mishnah is that if I make a neder on dates, date honey is not included in the neder. Again, Rav Yehuda ben Bezer disagrees, but right now, let's focus on the position of the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says, your neder is only going on the date and not on the date product, meaning on the date honey is not going to be included in your neder. Now, everyone refers to date honey as dvash tamarim. And so if in yesterday's daf, we all agree that if whey is called kuma dechaba, that's going to be included in the neder of chalav. So to over here, if we always refer to date honey as dvash tamarim, so therefore it should be included in your neder. And why is yesterday's daf different than today's daf? That's the Ran's question. Let's see the Ran inside. The Ran asks this question. The Ran's going to give two answers. So the Ran says, if you read the Gemara carefully, one can ask the following question. Anytime you refer to whey as whey of milk, so then the date honey should be prohibited for the same reason, because we always refer to it as dvash tamarim. The grape vinegar, right? The early winter grape vinegar, that should also be prohibited. So what's the difference between yesterday's daf and today's daf? So the Ran offers a couple of answers. Let's go over both of them. Yesh lamar. This is answer number one. The lo dami the ilu gabe kum de chalav akum lo nishana mitzura letzura de miikar nami kishayam uura bechalav veosa tzura atzma haya avahachar hare nishana haguf. Answer number one that he quotes in the name of the Rashba goes like this. When we have whey and we take whey out of milk, it's not there's been no change. Meaning all we did is just simply separate the milk. We had what once was a combination of the fat and the whey, and we just separated the milk. But really, the truth of the matter is that the whey that we're eating right now is the same way that it was within the milk. That's why if I make a neder against chalav, and the whey that comes out of it is always referred to as kuma dechalba, so that's why it's going to be also, because it really didn't undergo any change whatsoever. Mashenki, the date honey. Date honey, this is again the Rashba's argument. Date honey, however, is not the same as a date. Obviously, it's a derivative of the date, but it had to go through a shinoi. It went through a change. I guess it's the right. It's a squeezing of the date. It's the extraction of the juice that's inside of it. It's not just. I don't fully understand this, but it's not just a separation. Whey from milk is a separation. That's all it is. The honey extracted from the date, it's not just a separation. It's what he referred to as a shinu haguf.
Compared to yogurt, for example, from milk.
Right. So something along those lines. And in other words, it went through a shinui. Okay, that's answer number one. And then answer number two says the Ran goes like this. I'm keep reading inside. Look, says the Ran as a second suggestion. When you have whey that comes out of milk, so really, you know what that whey is? It's really milk. Meaning, we call it whey, but not because it's a different entity. It really is milk. If I can give just a simple analogy over here, it's like when you go to the store, you know, when we buy milk, I don't know how it works in your house, but in our house, so we get fat-free milk. Okay, we get no fat. Now, I guess some people would say, that's not milk. That's... I think I'm one of those people. So they said that's not milk. That's, you know, it's white water basically, and I guess to a certain degree they're right. But really it's milk. In other words, the name of it is milk. It really is milk. It's okay. I know it's not perfectly whey, but okay, the fat's been removed. So the Ron says similarly over here. When you're talking about the whey that comes out of milk, it's really still milk. It's fundamentally milk. However, when you're talking about date honey, when you're talking about vinegar, nobody's saying that date honey is date. In other words, we're not confusing that point. Date honey is not date. Date is a fruit, and date honey is a liquid extraction from the fruit, but it's not date. The only reason why we call it date honey is because when you go to the store, you want to know, what kind of honey is it? Is it date honey? Is it bee honey? But date honey does not mean it's date. Date honey just simply means we want to identify where did it come from. Same thing with vinegar, right? Sometimes there's apple cider vinegar, sometimes there's rice vinegar, and sometimes there is the standard grape vinegar. I just want to know what type it is. But in the second answer of the Ran, it's not that we're saying date honey is really date. It's not date. Whey, on the other hand, is milk. It just happens to be that the fat's been removed and it's been separated, but really fundamentally it's milk. Okay, that's a couple of answers of the Ran exploring what the difference is between yesterday's daf versus today's daf. Okay, let's go over the Mishnah one more time. Let's just review the points of the Mishnah and let's run through the Gemara. The Mishnah says that if I make a neder against dates and against the winter grape, so the Tanakhama's position is your neder is only applicable to the fruit and not to the derivative product. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra in the Mishnah says your neder will apply to the fruit and to the derivative product. And then there was a third sheet on the Mishnah, which is the Chachamim, and they say no, it's mutter. And it only prompts the Gemara to ask the following question. Chachamim, hainu Tanakhama. Yeah, isn't the Chachamim saying the same thing as the Tanakhama? They're making the same point. And it can't be. We've gone through enough Mishnayos. We know that's not how it works. If the Chachamim were satisfied with the Tanakhama's position, they wouldn't have said anything. So Ika Benayah, the Gemara says, no, there is a very subtle difference between the Chachamim and the Tanakhama. And Hadad Tanyan, the Gemara says, and it can be expressed in the following Braisa. Klal Zamer of Shimon ben Elazar. We have a Braisa quoting the name of Shimon ben Elazar. And I'll give away the explanation of the Gemara. The Chachamim of our Mishnah is the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, it's the Rashba. But please don't get it confused. Not the Rashba, the Rishon, which we just got, saw quoted in the Ran. That's the Rishon. The Rashba. We're talking over here of Shimon ben Elazar, the Tana. And it goes like this. We're back to the Gemara reading the Braisa. So let's say I normally eat the source product and I normally eat the derivative product, like date and date honey. Okay, we eat date honey. So neder bo aser b'yotze mimenu. So I make a neder against it. I'm also going to affect the derivative product as well. Noder b'yotze mimenu aser bo. And if I make a neder against the derivative product, it's also going to include the source as well. Meaning, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that if both the source and the derivative are both edible, so then they're really just one part of one family. My neder on one is going to affect the other, and it doesn't matter which direction it goes. I can make a neder on the source, on the date, or I can make a neder on the honey, and in both cases, it will be the neder will affect both. However, let's say it's not something that's not normally eaten, like our winter grape. The winter grape is not—it's not sweet; it's bitter, and I don't normally people don't eat it. What do people normally do with the winter grape? They they convert it to vinegar. So here, so I don't normally eat the winter grape. What I normally do is I convert it to vinegar. No derbo ein aser ala beyotzi mimenu. So here, Shemai Ben Elazar says, here's what I think. If I make a neder against the winter grape, you're not really making a neder on the winter grape. You're really making a neder on what's normally eaten, which is the vinegar that is manufactured from the winter grape. Shalom eskavin ze ela liyotzi mimenu. That was really the man's true kavana. That was his real intent. That's the opinion of Rosh Hashanah and Elazar. And so, as Aran points out now, we have three opinions in the Mishnah. Just to summarize and then to conclude. So opinion number one is the Tanakama. Tanakama says that if I make a neder against a source product, it only affects the source product, whether it's edible or inedible. Not inedible, but you know, in other words, people don't normally eat it. So that is the opinion of the Tanakama of our Mishnah, and therefore a neder on dates only is dates, not date honey. A neder on the winter grape is only on the winter grape, not the vinegar that's manufactured from the winter grape. Then number two is you have the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says everything is based on name. If the derivative product is named after the source, so then your neder is going to always include both, whether it's edible or inedible. So if I make a neder on dates, it's going to include date honey. If I make a neder on the winter grape, it's going to include the vinegar that is manufactured from the winter grape because it's called chometz davanios. And then there's a third opinion in the Mishnah, and that's Rosh Hashanah ben Elazar. And Rosh Hashanah ben Elazar says, no, I'm going to strike a difference between whether the source product is edible or inedible. If the source product is edible, like the date, so then a neder on one is going to affect the derivative. If the source product is not that edible, like the winter grape, so then your neder is only going to affect the derivative product, not the source product. Those are the three opinions in the Mishnah, as just articulated by the Gemara. And the Ran says, oh, by the way, in terms of the halacha we follow like the Tanakama, that your neder on the source product is only going to affect the source product, not the derivative. Okay, Adkan. We start now the next Mishnah. No demenayayin, mutar b'yayin tapuchim. Okay, let's say you make a neder on wine, so you're allowed to drink cider. Right, fermented cider, even though it's wine-like, but that's exactly the point. It's not wine. Let's say you make a neder on oil. So you can have sesame seed oil because that's not normally what people mean when they say oil. They mean olive oil. Min advash motzeh b'dvash tamarim. Person makes a neder that he's not going to have honey anymore, so he's allowed to have date honey. And again, I already pointed out earlier this morning the irony, because whenever the Torah talks about honey, the Torah is always talking about date honey. That's good, but that's not how we talk. And again, we made this distinction already a number of times in the Masechta. Whenever you make a neder, you follow not the Torah's language, but rather the way you and I talk. You and I always refer to honey as bee honey. And the Mishnah says it makes exactly that point. If I make a neder against honey, so I can't have bee honey, but oddly enough, the date honey, that's fine. If I make a neder on vinegar, so this winter grape vinegar, it's an unusual strain of vinegar, and it's not including your neder. Minakrishim, if I make a neder on leeks, kaplutus, I'm allowed to eat kaplutus. Okay, I don't know what it is, but it's not the usual strain of krish, of leeks. Mina yerek, if I make a neder on vegetables, okay, that's it, I've had it with my vegetables, I'm not eating vegetables anymore, so mutar bi yerakos hasadeh shem lavai. So vegetables that grow wild in the field are not included in your neder. Meaning your neder is only going on vegetables that grow in a garden, in a contained, confined, controlled area, but the wild vegetables that grow out in the field is not including your neder. That is too, it's unusual, if you will. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Hanoda ben Hashem and Be'eretz Yisrael, Mutar b'Shem and Shum Shum and Vasa b'Shem and Zayas. So here the Braisa is now going to make the very simple point, and that is, the neder is going to incorporate what people normally consume. So in other words, in Eretz Yisrael, everyone eats olive oil in Eretz Yisrael. That's a standard oil that's eaten. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you make a neder against oil, it means olive oil. It's perfectly fine for you to have sesame seed oil because that's unusual. And that was not including your neder. Ube bavel. Now, if the person makes the same neder in bavel, I'm not having oil anymore. That's it. I'm cutting oil out of my diet. So asur b'shem and shum shemin. So in bavel, sesame seed oil is the oil of choice. And so therefore in Bavel you can't have sesame seed oil. And oddly enough, in Bavel, nobody eats olive oil. So, or not nobody, but it's very unusual. So therefore that was not included in your neder. Now, let's say you live in a community, I would say like we do, where you go get oil, so, right, the people get vegetable oil, canola oil, olive oil, meaning we eat all different types of oils. Also, so if you make a neder that you're not going to have oil anymore, so your neder is going to include all types of oil. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Truth of the matter is, that was all pretty straightforward. Nothing that was said in the Braisa seems like much of a chiddush, and that's exactly what bothers the Gemara, Pshita. So the Gemara says, all this seems pretty obvious. If you normally consume olive oil, your neder is going to be on olive oil. If you normally consume sesame seed oil, okay. And if you normally consume both, so your neder is going to be on both. Okay. Nothing doesn't seem like we learned anything new here. So lotzricha deruba minchad mistabkit. So the Gemara says, well, the chiddush will be like this. Let's say that, yeah, in our community, in our society, we eat olive oil and sesame seed oil. But let's say the ratio is, I'm just going to throw out numbers, let's say the ratio is 70% consumption of olive oil, 30% consumption of vegetable oil, or any other type of oil. So the Gemara says, look, when a person makes a neder, maybe we should just follow Rov. If 70% of the oil that's sold within our environment is, let's say, olive oil, so let's say now that when he had in mind his neder was only going on the olive oil. Now, again, people eat other types of oil, but majority of people eat olive oil. So maybe we could limit his neder to only that which is the majority. Kamashmalan, that's the chiddush in the braisa. That's the chiddush. Safik yisur l'chumra, because what we're going to say is that it's a safik. Now, mind you, over here, safik, the word safik in this context, it's a little bit different than what we normally say safik. Safik usually means 50-50, right? Safik means maybe yes, maybe no, and we're somewhere closer to the middle. In this context, suffix simply means we're not sure what the person intended. In other words, because some oil is consumed that's not olive oil, some oil is consumed is sesame seed oil or what have you. So maybe the suffix over here is maybe he was thinking about the other oil, even though it's not in the majority that's consumed.
Uses past use as an indicator. If you get the chazaka, if he's been using majority of sesame oil his whole life, he's not likely to go to
right. In these Gemaras, it's always very difficult. The challenge is to try to figure out what he meant when he made a very generic statement. So that's
past use is a better indicator than what the community can say.
Right. The best indicator is if he would have clarified and he would have said that would have been the best. But he announced the neder. He bound himself by a neder that he's not going to have oil, and he didn't clarify what kind of oil it was. And okay, and the Gemara says that's a chiddush. Even though the majority of the oil is olive oil, his neder is going to be included other oils as long as some of the time they're consumed. Okay, bottom of the Amud. We're in Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We are approaching the end. We're at the very bottom. Let's say you make a neder on vegetables. Again, the person's done eating vegetables. He's had it. His parents have been force feeding him vegetables his whole life. That's it. He's now he's on his own, and that's it. No more vegetables, and he makes a neder. So, b'shashnei shavua, if you made the neder during any other years, meaning not the Shemitah year, so also b'yirakos hagino mutar b'yirakos hasada. So again, the vegetable variety that's normally eaten are garden vegetables, meaning vegetables that grew in a controlled area. Wild vegetables are not included as neder because people don't normally eat the vegetables of the field. Uvashvi is, however, in the Shemitah, it's exactly the opposite. If the person made a ned during the Shemitah year, so now during the Shemitah year, there are no gardens. Meaning during the Shemitah year, we know you're not allowed to work the field. Now there's going to be wild growth, but the wild growth is going to be taking place out in the field, in the Sada. So if a person makes a ned on vegetables during the Shemitah year, actually it's going to be a perfect inversion. In other words, the neder is only going to apply to vegetables that grow out in the field because that's the only vegetables that are found. And there are not going to be any garden variety during the Shemitah year. Amar, Yeah. Amar Rabbi Abba Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, top of Nun Gimel Mideis. Lo Shanu Ella b'makum she'ein mevin yerek mechutza aretz laaretz. That's only if there's no importation. Ava b'makum she'mevin yerek mechutza aretz laaretz aser. However, if there's importation, so then your neder is going to apply to both the field vegetables and the garden variety as well. So during the Shemitah year, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, so there is importation. And once there's importation, so which is understandable, by the way, because we don't have fruits and vegetables growing during the Shemitah year. Now, the Torah does assure us, this is a bit of a philosophical issue. The Torah does assure us that enough will grow during the sixth year, well, we're not going to need to import during the seventh year. We'll have enough stored. But I guess, despite the Torah's promises, I guess that could be said regarding wheat and barley and things that can be held over, you know, for the years. But we're talking about vegetables right now. Vegetables are significantly perishable. So I would imagine that by vegetables, even with the Torah's promise, we're still going to need some importation in order to enjoy fresh vegetables. Which then leads us to an interesting question. Are you allowed to import vegetables during the Shemitah year? So the answer would seemingly be, of course. In fact, we just learned in the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel that, yeah, people did that. And because people did that, so as a result of that, if you make a neder of vegetables during the Shemitah year, it includes the ones in the field and it includes the garden variety as well, because people are importing. And the Gemara now is going to interestingly point out, not everyone agrees with this position. Kitanai. In the Gemara, three lines down, this is a machlokas tanaim. Ein mevi'in yerek min chutz la'aretz la'aretz. One is not allowed to import vegetables from outside of Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel omer mevi'in yerek min chutz la'aretz la'aretz. And Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel says you're allowed to. And what's at the root of this debate? My time of demand amr mivian, amr Rabbi Yirmiyah mishum gush. Gemara gives a one-word explanation of what exactly is behind the position that you can't import vegetables into Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, this explanation is not specific to the Shemitah year. This explanation would be true every year. What is the explanation? So the Gemara's one word is gush. Gush means a clump of land. What's the problem with a clump of land? See, if you take a look at the Ran on the side of the Gemara, Ran over here, a very short amount of Ran on this Amud. So the Ran writes, Mishum Gush, Choshishin Lahavio, Mishum Chshasha, D'Gush HaNidbak Bo. Because there's nothing inherently wrong with imported vegetables. Again, I'm talking about importation when you're living in Israel. There's nothing wrong with it, right? You want to enjoy fruit that is grown in other countries and you're living in Israel? That's fine. There's no slight. The problem is, explains the Ran, explaining Rabbi Yirmiyah, explaining the Tanakhama. The problem is that the vegetables may not be fully cleaned. And some of the land from outside of Eretz Yisrael may be stuck to the vegetables. V'gusha de'eretz ha'amim tameh. Kidisa beper kama de Shabbos. And do you remember, this goes back to the first parak of Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, where there were 18 gzeras that were enacted by Shammai, by Beis Shammai, and eventually Beis Hillel capitulated to the 18, Shmona Asar Davar, that 18 different enactments of Tumah, and one of them is that if you step foot outside the land of Israel, so you're subject to Tumas Ha'amim. Meaning the land, the actual soil outside of Eretz Yisrael is all tameh, all the time. And the reason why, the Gemara over there explained, is because the non-Jews, when they bury, they don't always mark off the graves, and so therefore there is a concern. Admittedly, it's not, you know, it's a gzera. It doesn't mean that it's going to absolutely happen, but as a gzera, whenever you step foot outside of Eretz Yisrael, so there's a chance that you're going to be walking over a grave.
Question. What is it? But non-Jews don't give too much meh, do they?
Non-Jews, whether they non-Jews themselves gives off tumah, tumas meis, tumas ohel. Let's talk in those terms. So that's subject to a machlokus between the Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and the Tanakhama argue. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, hopefully I remember this correctly. So far I'm doing fine. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that goyim don't give off tumas Ohel, and the Tana Kama disagrees. And the Shulchan Aruch says we should be machmer. Okay. Anyway, the answer is it's the machlokas.
So in terms of bringing the dust or earth from outside of Israel, why not that concern about people's shoes then?
Yeah, in other words, right? The way the Gemara is presenting it, it really sounds like an extreme version of the Gzeira, where even if there's a little bit of dirt attached to the vegetables, but that's part of Eretz Amen. I agree. Admittedly, seems like a very extreme version of this Gzeira. But any dirt that came in from outside of Eretz Yisrael is subject to Tumah. So, and that's what the Chachamim worried about. And you see that Rabbi
is there on top of it,
right? Yeah. And you see that was going to be my next point. You see that Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel is not bothered by that. Meaning, I guess his position would be he doesn't disagree with the idea of Tumas Ha'amim. I guess what he disagrees with is this idea that I have to be worried that there's going to be a little bit of dirt connected to the vegetables. Like he says, that's already taking it too far. Okay. One more Mishnah. Today's daf is pretty short. One more Mishnah to do, and the ensuing Gemara. We're now in the middle of the Gimel Amud Beis. Min hakruv, a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat kruv. Again, kruv is some sort of cabbage. So aser be asparagus. It's funny. It's I don't think it's the asparagus that we know and like today. Espargos, whatever. Anyway, it's a strain of cabbage. Okay, how about that? Min espargos, mutar b'kruv. However, if let's say you made a neder against espargos, you're allowed to eat kruv. The idea behind this Mishnah is that there's a general and there's a specific. If I make a neder on the general, it's going to cover the specific strain. If I make a neder on the specific strain, it's not going to cover the general. It's a very simple idea. And the Mishnah is just going to give us a number of permutations of this idea. Min ha-grisim, if I make a neder against grisim, lentils or just beans in general? Okay. Grits. Okay. Min ha-grisim, asa b'makbis, and then one's not allowed to eat porridge. Rav Yossi Mati, and on this Rav Yossi disagrees. Min ha-makpe, if I make a neder that I'm not going to have any type of porridge, mutar b'grisim, so then I'm allowed to eat grits. Mina makbe asa b'shum, if I make a neder that I'm not going to eat porridge, that includes shum as well. Now shum, generally speaking, translates as garlic, and so it's a little difficult to imagine why garlic is going to be considered a porridge. All I can tell you is that the Ran says, and again, this is not our eating habits today, the Ran says that what they used to do with their shum is they used to mash it up with a little bit of water and kind of eat it like a porridge. It sounds strange. I mean, maybe shum is, we translate it as garlic, maybe it's another strain of onion, so that, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, that's how the Ran explains the Mishnah. By the way, the Rans for the Mishnah are not found here. If you're looking for the Ran, you go back to the previous Amud. The Ran is on the first Amud of today's Daf. Rabbi Yossi Matan, Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's fine. In other words, even though you made a neder on porridge, you're allowed to eat shum. Min hashum, motar b'makba. Now, if you made a neder on shum, so again, shum is very specific, so then your neder is only going to affect the very specific, but it's not going to affect the general makba, not going to affect the general porridge. Min hadashim asur b'ashishim, if I make a neder on lentils, so then including that is ashishim. Ashishim, we learned the other day, is a lentil with roasted with honey. And Rav Yossi Matan, Rav Yossi says, no, that's mutter. It's too different. Min ashishim mutter ba'ad Hashem. If I make a neder on ashishim, again, ashishim is a very specific form of lentil, so then my neder is only going to affect the specific, and it's not going to affect the entire general lentil family. Chita chitin, shani toim, aser behen, bein kemach bein pas. If I make a neder, and in my neder I say I'm not going to eat chita chitim. Chita, one kernel of wheat. Chitin, many kernels of wheat. So then, your neder is going to bind you that you're not allowed to eat. Not kemach, not flour, not bread. Grisin. I'm not going to eat one grit, I'm not going to eat many grits. Shani toim, aser behen, bein chayim, bein mevushalim. Then I can't eat it whether they're raw or whether they're cooked. Rabbi Yehuda Omer konim gris or chitash ani toim mutar lachos chayim. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if I make a neder that I'm not going to eat either gris or chita, and I say it in the singular, so muta lachos chayim, you're allowed to chew on it. Okay, first of all, it was a very popular custom back then that they would take kernels of wheat and not really prepare them, not cook them, not roast them, and kind of just chew on them. Okay, and I never experienced that before. As I'm not most people, I think, would agree with me. This is not the way we consume our wheat. We don't chew on the grain. But back then, that was a popular means of eating grain. They would just kind of chew on it and extract whatever they can extract, chewing on it raw. In order to understand the Mishnah over here, the Ron just introduces us to one idea. And that is that when they would eat kernels of wheat, so they would throw a bunch of them into their mouth. In other words, it wouldn't be just, again, hard for me to envision, just simply because I never had this experience.
It's when they're not totally ripe.
You can chew on it. Okay. So I'm sure this would be much easier to understand if you had this experience. But they used to throw a bunch of them into the mouth. And so you don't normally chew on one kernel of wheat. So that's Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah that if you make a neder on chita, you're not talking about chewing. Because that's not normally how you chew on wheat. You chew it in multiples. Tanya, the Gemara is going to. We go right to the Braisa. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Amar Chita Shani Tov Masul Afos Umut Alachos. Right, and this basically now is going to explain the rest of today's daf. If I make a neder against Chita, now again Chita means singular, one wheat. So then I can't bake bread and I can't eat bread, but I'm allowed to chew. Now I know that sounds funny, but based on what we just said, it goes like this. When I say the word chita, I mean wheat in its singular form. What is wheat in its singular form?
Bread.
In other words, what I do is I take a whole bunch of wheat, I grind it up, I mix it with water, I knead it into one entity, and I bake it. Bread. Bread is chita. Because I understand it doesn't represent one kernel of wheat, but it's singularity. In other words, it's a whole bunch of wheat combined into one.
Is this supposed to be like a universal term that everybody accepts?
Yeah.
No community would have a different view.
Again, with a lot of these things, and it depends on what normally is how the spoken word is normally understood. But yeah, yeah. So the chitim shani toim, and then but what if let's say your nether goes on wheat, and again there's no plural for wheat in the English language, but what if it's chitim? What if it's on kernels of wheat? So also lachos and mutalafos. So here, your neder is going specifically on chewing the wheat because you're saying it in the plural, but there's no problem with baking it because you meant chitim, meaning I'm not chewing kernels of wheat anymore. That's what you meant. But if you take it and you grind it and you bake it into one bread, that's fine. Chita chitim shani toim. Now, but what if your neder included both chita and chitim? So also ben lachos ben lafos. So then, obviously, you use both of those languages because you wanted to include both chewing on the wheat and also making it into bread. Gris shani toim. Also lavashal mutalachos. So let's say we're talking about gris, and again another grain, where I say it in the singular. So then I am not allowed to cook, but I am allowed to chew. Because again, it's the same idea. You don't normally chew one at a time. Grisim shani toim. But if I say in the plural, asalachosim at levashel. So then I can't chew on it because that's normally how it's chewed. It's chewed in multiples. But I'm allowed to cook it. Grisim shani toim. And if I say it both in the singular and in the plural, asal ben levashel ben lachos, so then I cannot cook and I cannot... And I cannot chew on it as well because I incorporated both languages in the neder. And that is the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta. Tomorrow we begin the seventh parak of the Masechta. See you again tomorrow.